I'm Frank Vaughn. It's August 22nd, 2025. No one needs to worry about me if I disappear for a day or two. Everything's fine. Over the next, I would say, 6 weeks, there might be some service interruptions here and there. I'm not going to say when. I've got a couple things coming up that I need to deal with. Don't worry. You may not even notice, but I just want you to know all is well. Today, I just want to jump right into what I think is the most important thing. Maybe not the most interesting thing, but we'll get to that. Canada to remove many retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods. Canadian tariffs on U.S. auto, steel, and aluminum will remain for now. Canada will announce on Friday that it is removing many retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods. So here's the deal. Canada's been abandoned. I've been talking about this on the channel. This is the joint statement on a United States-European Union framework on an agreement on reciprocal and fair and balanced trade, which is essentially a lot of words for capitulation. The knees have been bent. Trump is going to get his way. American foreign policy is probably going to successfully end the war in Ukraine. I'm very hopeful that that happens. Powell has said from Jackson Hole that it looks like we're going to get rate cuts. And rate cuts for everybody out there means bull run. Crypto, stocks, gold, bullion means prices going up, means economic well-being for everybody. There was the expectation that Trump's tariffs would massively increase inflation. That hasn't happened. In spite of the media actually trying to paint it like that is the outcome. Hang on just one second. So I have had this open on my desktop for probably a week and a half, and this is how you do fake news. This chart shows how prices have gone up because of Trump's tariffs. And so they show this chart, and the chart starts in October of 2024, and it ends in July 25th, and they show this modest gain from 1 to 1.01. Look at that. Look at that pricing index. That's their big rise. But the reason they pick October 24th is the price rises under Biden were already baked in and far more enormous. This is 100% fake news. The predictions of doom and gloom haven't happened. And the reason the doom and gloom hasn't happened is, as I presented on this channel months ago, the world was faced with a choice. Trump came in talking real tough on trade, talking real tough on certain aspects of foreign policy, rejecting the NATO consensus about wanting to start World War III and kill us all, which was a very good thing, as opposed to Kamala Harris, who was guaranteed to embrace it. Now, there's been some rocky, there's been some stuff, water that's gone under the bridge in the meantime, but things are looking a little bit better right now, and we should all be celebrating that. And how are they looking better? The world had an opportunity. Europe had an opportunity. Canada had an opportunity. China had an opportunity. Japan had an opportunity. The world had an opportunity to come together and make a decision to sink America, to sink the American economy, to go to trade war, if not physical war, with the United States. And they had that option to embrace the pain, tank the dollar, take it down, preserve the rise of BRICS, do all these different things. But instead, what they've done is one by one, they've sought to appease the United States. Now, they all know, because they've already done this in 2016 to 2020, if they weather the Trumpian storm in 2020, they get a new president and maybe a return to their favored policies, which they got under Joe Biden and their favored approach to the world. But instead of embracing the pain and instead of embracing a trade war and a conflict, one by one, they've all bent the knee. Britain, Europe, China's working on it. Everybody just wants to get on with doing business. They don't want the domestic pain that an extended reordering of the global structure would take. And so they're postponing it for a little while longer. And Canada is one of the last countries to figure it out. We've been signaling a totally wrong foreign policy from both the governing liberals and the opposition, who are just all, and I know Polyev hasn't used the term elbows up, but he certainly used language which has been very insulting to the United States and has damaged our reputation with them. So this is the first move in the capitulation. where Carney capitulates to the United States. There's other things going on out there that shows, for people who are discerning, that Canada's in really bad shape. Now, we know Canada's in bad shape. We've talked about housing. We've talked about money laundering. We've talked about the drug trade and crime. We've talked about inflation. We've talked about how nobody can afford to live. We've talked about how nobody can afford to live. People can't buy real estate in Vancouver and Toronto. Yet, at the same time, there's hundreds of thousands of net new migrants coming into Canada who should have money, if we were doing our immigration system right, to pay the exorbitant rates. That's how it was when Daniel Smith says everything was fine 2 years ago. That's how everything was up to 2 years ago. We had a lot of rich people coming in, helping to drive the cost and put things out of reach for Canadians who've been living here for one, two, three generations already. Which is why I disagree with Daniel Smith's assessment that everything was fine 2 years ago. It wasn't. Immigration was still too high. That was the conditions. These were the conditions that were creating the rapid rise in asset prices in Canada, creating this huge bubble that we're all victimized by right now. I don't know what she's talking about. It really frustrates me. But at any rate, fed up Canadians say no one at CRA is taking their call. The union says it's set to get worse because Mark Carney is going to lay off, 3,000 employees? 3,300? 3,300 call center employees have lost their jobs since May 2024. Consequently, says the union, on average, fewer than 5% of callers are actually reaching a real agent. So, under the Liberal government, and I've actually said this before, prior to the Liberal government, I didn't have a whole lot of sympathy for the Canada Revenue Agency. I mean, who does? But with the creation of CERB, that's kind of where the problem started. It was CERB, it was the business loans, it was all the activity surrounding the so-called pandemic. They created all of this work for the Canada Revenue Agency. Then they told the Canada Revenue Agency, first off, they created the programs, and then they said, we don't have a plan for how to administer it. That's the bureaucracy's job. So they created all these ideas, and then they threw it at the CRA and said, you deal with it. At the same time, we're going to cut the number of employees that you have, which I'm not really against, by the way. I mean, a smaller, tighter CRA is probably good for everybody. But the issue is, it's not smaller and tighter. Because of all of the work created, clawing back those CERB payments, chasing after those business loans, doing all the things that the government of Trudeau said, you just go and do. The entire system of tax collection in Canada, except for those who are voluntary payers, which I'm one of them. I mean, the whole system rests on voluntary compliance. That's the big secret in the room. There's a lot of efficiencies built in where they tax at source, and there's a lot of problems with taxation at source, but that happens. So if you're an employee, the taxes are taken from you through the employer on behalf of you and paid to the Canada Revenue Agency, and then they tally up at the end of the year, give you a refund. That's kind of that whole process. But for millions of people who are self-employed or capital gains earners or earn in different ways, voluntary compliance is the staple that keeps the thing alive. The system relies on the honesty of people to want to obey the law and pay their taxes. When the CRA can't even answer the phone, that system of voluntary compliance is threatened. That's the system of tax collection is on the verge of being broken. So in spite of the fact that the government can just go across the road to the Bank of Canada and borrow money whenever they want, create money out of thin air, and then spend it in excess of what they bring in, tax revenue is really important. Being able to collect taxes is maybe the one thing government should be good at, by definition. And in Canada, under Liberal rule, we're failing in the tax collection department. There's a lot of people who may owe a lot of money, who may have committed fraud, who may have done all these things, because they can't get through to the CRA, because they can't actually litigate, or even not even just litigate, just talk to the CRA about their tax problems, may end up going to a tax court if they can get to a tax court, because the backlog there is huge. might have their cases thrown out because of a lack of due process and access to due process. So in the midst of all that, Carney is continuing to cut. Now, I don't want to shed too many tears about the CRA, but I do want to, I'm bringing this up to highlight how broken Canada actually is. So back to the original point. Canada is beginning the process of bending the knee to the United States because we're in total isolation. And this is one of the, this is the scary scenario that I set out when Trump won the election. I believe there was a series of videos I did where I talked about the different ways that things could factor and that my worst nightmare was a continuation of the status quo. Oh, man, and I think that's exactly where we're heading. We're going to have a Canada that capitulates to the United States, creates a trade deal, dissuades the Trump administration from its interests in Canada. If we abandon the elbows up nonsense and we actually cut a trade deal, that'll probably mollify the Trump administration and they will go and focus on more important things because they're moving the world. They're shaping the world. They're doing like big things. Canada's just up here making a bunch of noise like a crazy person on the corner that makes a lot of noise but nobody actually listens to and nobody cares about. Nobody really cares about Canada. We got a prime minister who represents the Europeans' interest, who represents the interests of Brookfield. He's got conflicts of interest everywhere. Conflicts of interest, even the guy is so incapable of being clean that even in the Air Canada strike, he has conflicts of interest. No one's curious in the government. Nobody's curious in the media. We're they're still applauding and celebrating this guy. They're publishing pictures like this where he just, he looks, it's always him sitting at a desk looking effective, even though Canada's position in the world is continuing to tank under his leadership, even though the country and the economy is continuing to tank under his leadership, even though deficits are ballooning under his leadership, even though he's talking about cutting the public administration by, I believe it's 15%, which is on the table right now, across the board. These are the people who voted for this guy. You're all about to lose your jobs because they've broken the country. I wish people would wake up to it. The nightmare scenario is the status quo continuation of Canada the way that it is. That is, people stop thinking about a new deal for the people. People stop thinking, if they even started, about how terrible this system is for the citizen. How I've talked about on this channel, you know, you don't have any citizen rights. You don't even have a privilege to believe that your elected parliamentarians are going to keep the promises that they made to you. You don't even have the ability to rest easy at night knowing that Parliament is your actual government, because it's not. Parliament has been dispensed with. Parliament, in the midst of all these national emergencies that this guy talked about, has been dispensed with for at least another month. They're not even going to be back in session. We might get a budget at that point. He's going to gay pride parades and he's doing all the rainbow virtue signaling nonsense. And meanwhile, Canada's position in the world continues to tank. We are not a respected country. We're a joke. We're a pariah nation. We're a northern narco state. And the Liberal government is fine with it. My biggest fear is that everyone just goes back to sleep. That Trump loses interest in Canada. The focus comes off of us. Daniel Smith and Pierre Poilievre and Scott Moe to a lesser extent, I suppose, Mark Carney, all of these committed Federalists are successful in their goal of dissuading people from actually trying to create something different out of the ashes that they're leaving for Canada. That all the people who are refusing to think outside the box are actually victorious in the public space. And we just keep limping on into the future the exact same as we've always been, in perpetual decline, with far too high immigration being turned into a colonial nation of India. That's what's slowly happening. If we continue on the course that we're on for 10 or 20 years, this is absolutely going to be irredeemably a colonial nation of other stronger national interests. Countries that actually have a self-identity, not post-national states. India is not a post-national state. China is not a post-national state. Pick your Arab nation. It's not a post-national state. Russia is not a post-national state. The United States is not a post-national state. Canada is the world's premier post-national state. Post-national means we have nothing core, nothing valuable that we're trying to hang on to. We're just a whore, and everybody in the world can buy time with us. Sorry for the crass analogy, but that's what it's like. We're prostrate, and anybody that wants to line up can take advantage of us. And these guys, the media empire, the liberal government, the conservatives, they all seem to be okay with Canada on this course. Now, admittedly, Polyev has come around on some things. I like his immigration numbers far better than I like Daniel Smith's. And I also believe that if we're roughly on the same team, we're all talking about reductions in overall immigration and tightening up the system and putting on some requirements. Whether your number is 400,000 or whether your number is 300 or 250, we can probably walk down the path together for a little while before we have to knife fight over the particulars. We got to get going in the right direction first. That's just one file. I guess I don't have any faith in any political leadership anywhere in the country to actually talk about the things that are important and the change that's necessary with the platforms that they have. A lot of people in the comment section are always saying, Frank, why don't you start a political party? I don't want to. First off, I'm not big enough to do that sort of thing. Nobody is. Nobody I talk to, whether it's Clyde, Wyatt, anybody, nobody's in a position. We don't have that clout. At the moment, as things are right now, this time right now, we need somebody with the clout and position to start dropping truth bombs more. I'm looking at Polyev. I'm looking at Smith. We kind of need them on board. And sometimes they say some things that are kind of leaning towards solutions, and then other times they say things that are just leading towards more destruction. I wish they'd just commit one way or the other. We just got a whole nation of fence sitters. We need the power of an individual who can call a press conference and have the national media get outraged and then create an outrage cycle that's never ending. It can be diplomatic. It can be polite. It doesn't have to look like the Orange Man. It can look like anything you want. It can be very sophisticated. But they have the ability and the clout to do that. And we need them doing that. That's our best chance right now. In August of 2025. Now that may change by October or November or December as events dictate. But my concern is no solutions are offered. The status quo ticks on. We're stuck for another 3 or 4 years with this nonsense. And then we're going to fight another election along the same lines as the one we just fought. Nothing's going to change. Everything's going to get worse. And instead of just being a pariah in the world, we're going to be ignored. We've already fallen out of the G7. We're a G9 nation. Canada is one of the most beautiful nations that God's ever made. It has the resources, both natural, physical. It has the defenses. It has the proximity to the United States. We could be so strong. We could have such a strong national character and identity. We could do so much better for our people. We could beat the Republic to the south. We could have a better constitution. We could have a better system, but we have no dreamers. What happened to all the innovators and the dreamers? People of vision. Who says that the best we can do is the Westminster system? From where I'm sitting, it sucks. It just delivers an aristocracy under a king, under a governor general. Why aren't any of the premiers talking about that? Doug Ford, by the way, let's just do that right now. So this tweet that I made, the right to life is incomplete without the right to defend it. In a situation where microseconds can matter, there is no time for deliberations about the use of reasonable force. Protection of life and family is reason enough. Self-defense is a fundamental human right. I firmly believe that. Now, first off, I just want to deal with Ford. If I didn't do this already, I know I made some tweets about it. I'm not sure I talked about it. But he's calling out cops for pressing charges against somebody who defended their home. But once again, he's not calling out Carney. And the legal regime that his government, which has been in power for 10 years, he's just the new nominal figurehead. He's not a figurehead. He's a manager from Europe. He's actually leading the way but he's changing the channel from Justin Trudeau. But underneath it all is the same rotten structure that's been running the country for 10 years, and nobody should forget that. Too easily is it forgotten. Too easily is it treated like we have a new government when we don't. Under the hood, it's the same thing. It's the same thing that Doug Ford hobnobs with. Won't meet Polyev, won't talk to Polyev, won't deal with Polyev, but will deal with the liberals. And then he dares parade around like a conservative, and then somehow 47% of the voting electorate, 25% of the people of Ontario, 28%, something like that, voted, gave him power again. And he gets in front of his bully pulpit, and he attacks the cops for pressing charges under the law that the Liberal government creates and defends. That's the real reason. And Doug Ford doesn't want to talk about it. I guess he wants the police to just defy the law, which isn't their job. Their job is to enforce the law, not define it on the street. If he started doing that, then everybody would be calling them tyrants, which many already do. But I digress. The process in Canada is the punishment. You have a legal privilege, not a right. You have a legal precedent, not a right, to defend yourself in your own home. And what will end up happening is if the police, as they're charged with, as they are tasked with, assess on scene that you may, not did, but may have used excessive force in their after action judgment. I mean, there you are. You're in your home. Your kids are sleeping in their beds. Your wife's sleeping in the bed. You got people in your garage trying to steal your stuff, and they could be armed. It's dark, you got split seconds to think about it, and you might happen to be armed, whether it's a baseball bat or a knife or a gun. And your life could be under threat. You literally have a split second to make a decision that could save your family. But then after the fact, there is a lifetime left for everybody to second guess you in that moment. It's a sin. It's terrible that that's the way it is. The law needs to be changed. It should be heavily skewed in favor of the homeowner or the occupant of the residence. Your home is your castle, and it should be treated that way. Now, I think it's reasonable to assume that you might want to call out a warning before you just go and shoot somebody, and you have that on your conscience. There's a bit of nuance there, but the problem is that Canada is too far the other way. We punish the person who saves their life. And our politicians, often enough, and many of our police heads will often signal through social media, when they're not signaling about gay pride and Islamophobia, they will often signal that you don't have a right to self-defense, and that technically using, I remember it wasn't long ago, somebody used bear spray in self-defense and saved themselves from harm on a street. I believe it was in Manitoba. And the police just took the time to remind everybody that even though that person wasn't charged in that situation, it was still illegal to use bear spray to protect your life and property. That's wrong. It's not the way it should be. And instead of talking about changing the law, Doug Ford is talking about the police. We really need to revisit and rethink how things are. The current government of the Liberals has created a legal regime in this country that turns violent criminals loose on our street all the time, that promotes addiction. Public transit is filled with people smoking crack and doing meth and shooting up with heroin, and your kids are trying to go to school. That's the situation that they created. They've allowed triads and cartels to run rampant around this country, which, by the way, I tweeted at Pierre Poilievre the other day. He's got a platform. He has the ability to call press conferences. Why isn't he telling the full truth? He wants to talk about rampant crime. He wants to talk about gangs in general. Start being brave, man. There's entire books written about how this country's been turned into a narco state with all the details. Use your press conferences to educate the Canadian public. Tell the truth. Why aren't we telling the full truth? It's bad, man. And it's good political capital if you just start talking to people about it. The truth. It's so easy. Anyway, I'm all over the place today. If you can tell I'm a little bit frauds, this stuff is really frustrating me. There seems to be a lack of progress and imagination, and we're sinking back into the status quo. Carney capitulating towards the United States and beginning the process. And it's going to be interesting watching the media spin this. The very things that they claim Polyev was going to do, that's what Carney may just do. The pain, the real pain of a trade war with the United States may not materialize. We may just be stuck in this attrition pain that we've been dealing with for the last 10 years. What a nightmare. At any rate, the process is the punishment in Canada. If you actually successfully defend yourself and you defend your family and your life and property, then you have to go and hire a lawyer and you have to go to court and you have to prove that it was a justifiable homicide or a justifiable assault, because that's what it's classed as. You swat a guy intruding into your house with a baseball bat. That's assault. And it shouldn't be. Ford's right in a way. It should be open and shut. Were you in your home? Was someone in your home that wasn't supposed to be there? Were they trying to steal your property or do you harm? And if that's the answer, then whatever you do in the interim, that's your business. They create the conditions of high crime all across this country. They have made you unsafe. They reward criminals every single day. If that's the conditions they want to create, so be it. Fine. Government is ineffective at controlling crime. Government wants everybody addicted to drugs everywhere. Government wants people who stab someone. The government wants people who commit violent assault against an individual in the morning to be released in the afternoon, which is what happened in Vancouver. Somebody gets stabbed in the morning just trying to go about their business. And by the afternoon, they're running into the same person back on the streets. It's crazy. If that's the conditions they want to create, then fine. Fine! Until we find somebody with vision in this country who actually wants to change things and an electorate that wants to elect them, fine. But at least give people the ability to defend themselves in their own home. If you won't do it, then the people need to. And you already have a legal privilege to do it. The problem is, to do it, it's going to cost you tens of thousands of dollars to clear your name after the fact. You have to put your faith in a jury of 12. And there's going to be a prosecution. Damn them all. Who are going to try and put you in jail for defending yourself. And it's a sin. And then you got guys like Andrew Cohn coming down. Let's see if we can pull this up real quick. I know I made a reply. I'm just not sure how far back in time it is. Just give me one second. There he is. A struggle broke out, leaving the alleged intruder with life-threatening injuries. You're allowed to defend yourself with reasonable force. You're not allowed to beat the guy to death. Look at the ratio on this. Some 636 idiots like this, but 2.6K responded in a similar way that I did. Why do you always come down on the most morally backward side of everything? Like I said, idiots like Andrew Cohn, who believes that Ukraine has the right to kill all their sons and daughters in self-defense, believes that Israel has the right to take over sections of the Middle East in defense of its sovereignty from a Hamas terror attack. He's got flags and virtue signaling all over the place. Seems to understand the concepts of self-defense. But then when it comes to you in your own home, he wants to sit like a lord in judgment of whether or not you used reasonable force enough. Reasonable force should be anything used to defend your life and the lives of your family. That's what's reasonable. In split seconds, where you don't have time to parse and analyze what's going on, if someone's in your house, someone's on your property, and they are currently doing you harm, then the balance should be in your favor always. Someone else said, one of the members of the Dominion Society, if you've heard of that so far, said, we don't need American-style gun laws in Canada, and that gave me pause for thought. We definitely need better self-defense laws. And that includes gun ownership as a component. You should be allowed the use of sidearms. I've never understood why, when gangbangers and criminals can so easily access handguns, why it is that Canadian citizens, lawful, legal Canadian citizens, gun owners, literally the best Canadians, the most thoroughly vetted people. We're more vetted than immigrants, people who own firearms. Literally. We can't have a criminal record. We can't get in a fight at a bar. We can't do anything. Every single day, our names are background checked. Like, we are watched like hawks. And yet, people who can get assault weapons and handguns on the streets, no problem, are allowed to get them, are allowed to commit violent crime with them, and are released on bail. Meanwhile, the rest of us, the taxpaying class, the people who are vetted, aren't allowed to have them and aren't allowed to use them. I don't understand it. It just doesn't make any sense. So I don't understand why anybody would be against gun ownership liberalization as it relates to self-defense. But at the very least, we should be able to agree that the way things are in Canada is completely and morally wrong. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like this video's gone completely off the rails. I have allowed myself to express frustrations, I guess as I always do in my videos, but I've allowed the frustrations to occupy the driver's seat. I'll be honest with you, the last couple of days I've just focused on doing other work because this stuff, I read, this actually happened. I was about to start filming on, where are we? We're on Friday. So I missed yesterday and I missed Wednesday. So I was about to start filming Wednesday and I read the word inflation and I felt something die inside of me. I'm just like, it was the word inflation that triggered it. There's so many frustrating aspects to being a mindful, awake Canadian who cares about human rights, genuine human rights, who cares about the human condition, who cares about a better deal for the people. There's so many things that are demoralizing that are going on. We touched on several of them in this video. That sometimes it's hard to just be dry and analytical about it all. We're in a bad situation. We're under very bad leadership. And that leadership, for some reason, remains quite popular. Even as they take the knife to their own base, somehow we're all programmed to think that Polyev is this extension of Donald Trump. And if they just play on that, they can maintain their power. That's why Ford does it. That's why Carney does it. It's because there's a large segment of the demographic, of the population, that believes these things, these myths, to be true. And that's kind of what we're up against. The hysteria. The uncritical mass. Somehow, we got to get them thinking critically. Somehow, we got to wake them up. Somehow, we got to shake the tree of their political support for the Liberal Party and hope they fall out of it. And then hope as well that conservatives continue to use their voice, because oftentimes I get lambasted because I dare be critical of the CPC. You got to do it. You got to do it. If we weren't loud and boisterous during the Aaron O'Toole debacle and the years of Andrew Scheer, if we didn't do these things, we wouldn't have Polyev where he is now. He's a different leader from those two. The Conservative Party is more sensible today than it was back then. It hasn't gone far enough. If anything, we should be more introspective and we should be more self-reflective, which are basically saying the same thing, and we should not be afraid to be critical. We're not about to have an election, folks. Now is the time to send a message. If you want to circle the wagons, the time to do it is during an election. You can silence your guns, you can draw it back in, and you can have a reasonable message that's a little bit less critical. But right now, now's the time to get loud about immigration. Now's the time to get loud about the fact that you have no human rights. Now's the time to get loud about the fact that the Conservative Party doesn't have a position about premiers banning people from walking in parks who haven't committed crimes. They should be more vocal. And in order to get them to be more vocal, in order to get them to use their platforms for the maximal good for you, now's the time. Be critical, be loud, be thoughtful, be forceful, and try to break out of this cone of silence that protects the mediocrity that is Canada in 2025. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.